1 Samuel chapter 18, after David finishes cleaning up Goliath, you'd think everyone would be over the moon about it. But Saul is one of those guys who sees what's going on, and people start praising David, and he becomes jealous. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And this made Saul very angry. "What is this?" he said. "They credit David with tens of thousands and me with only thousands? Next they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. And David was playing the harp, as he did each day. But Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid. He was afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. And finally Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men. And David faithfully led his troops into battle. And David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. Jealousy is one of those tip of the iceberg type emotions. It sort of starts innocently, if you like, not thinking too bad. It's not too bad. I wouldn't mind what he's got. But it starts to spiral down if you don't get on top of it early. It's one of those things that it's like an iceberg. It's just a little bit's poking out the top, but underneath there's this whole lot of stuff going on. And we see that in the story of Saul here. It started with jealousy. David's killed tens of thousands. You know, what's so special about this guy? You know, I could have killed tens of thousands. I could have taken... And you start sort of comparing yourself with other people, don't we? But then what we saw in this story is that that jealousy turned to torment. And the torment started to eat away in Saul's head and get the better of him. It's like an invitation. He opened up his life, if you like, and this tormenting spirit tormented him. Loss of sleep, aggravation, just frustration. And then this taunting turns to, you know, questions about, is it me? Am I not good enough? I'm hopeless. And the voices in your head start to eat away at what you're thinking. And then anger. And this anger started to burn within Saul. It's like water, isn't it? We liken anger to boiling up, and this steam coming out our ears. It's like an overflow of emotion that's boiled up for Saul, and he ended up throwing a spear and trying to kill David. So his anger turned to violence, and he started to lash out, and we do that as well, don't we? We lash out, we kick the cat, kick the dog. I remember chucking a shovel and, you know, over the fence and banging my fist against a wall, and it doesn't help at all. But it's an overflow of emotion that's coming out. For Saul then, it turned to fear. What if I lose my position? What if they make David king over me? And these voices in his head started this conversation about what ifs. And then plots to murder David. It goes on. I didn't read that section. You can read that for yourself. He a few times he plotted to murder David. I'll fix this myself. I'll sort this situation out. I'll fix him. I'll teach him. I'll show everyone that he's not better than me. And all of this spirals going down and down and down. And it says twice, it says that he was growing even more afraid. And as a result, he grew further and further from God. The only solution to this spiral of death and separation is repentance. It's only way back. It's the only way to stop the spiral. It's to stop. Repent means to turn around and repair the situation. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. Jealousy is just one of those triggers, isn't it? It's the tip of the iceberg, but there are other ones. Temptation can be a tip of the iceberg thing. I wouldn't mind that. But what happens is it starts this spiral to jealousy, to torment, to even anger when you can't have what you lust after or whatever it is, to violence, to fear, to plots. Frustration can lead to these emotions. They lead to deeper and greater sins. They're not sins in themselves, but if we don't get onto them quickly enough, they start to eat away at us and they spiral us down further and further from God. The only solution for Saul is repentance. I'm sure that if he came to David and said, look, I messed up, this anger got the better of me, and I shouldn't have thrown the sword, I'm sure David would have forgiven him, and God would have forgiven him as well. Repentance is a powerful thing when you think about it. It stops this spiral of separation and restores relationships. Can't believe David's response to this situation. Saul's chucking a nana, and David's just carrying on business as usual. He's an amazing young guy. It says that whatever he did, he succeeded because the Lord was with him. Verse 5, verse 12, verse 14, David continued to succeed in everything that he did, for the Lord was with him. Sometimes I guess, you know, you would have thought, oh man, I'm out of here. This situation is too hard. But for David, it wasn't that. He wasn't focused on Saul. He was focused on the Lord. And I think he believed that if God put him there, then he was there for a purpose. Maybe it was to calm Saul down, you know, with the harp as he was playing. But he didn't focus on the problem. He didn't focus on Saul. He focused on the Lord. And I wonder how often we actually make that mistake of focusing on the problem rather than the solution. Rather than focusing on God, we take our eyes off God and we start looking at the issue and how we can solve it ourselves, or we get angry about it rather than give it to God. You can imagine Saul's frustration every time he sent David out to do a job, come back more successful than, you know, he sent him out to kill some people and expected David to get killed, and he comes back and he's killed heaps of people. He set him up a few times with different plots, trying to marry him off. He sent him off to get 100 guys' foreskins, and he come back with 200. I mean, he was just successful in everything he did. It caused me to think, you know, later on in life, as David was reflecting on his successes, I was just wondering whether he may have wrote Psalm 1. It doesn't say who wrote it. Psalm 3 he wrote, but it doesn't say who wrote Psalm 1. But it sounds similar language. He says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like a tree planted by the alongside the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." I wonder, David sitting back thinking later on in life, "I remember the Lord was with me. It really didn't matter what I did. He was with me." David didn't focus on the problem. He didn't focus on Saul. He focused on God, and God never left him. Often I think in our life we focus on the problem more than the solution. And the problem starts to overwhelm us. It starts with jealousy or whatever, temptation or whatever it is. And we start to spiral out of control. David went through some terrible hardships. I can imagine being alone and separated from his family. And here he is in the palace of a king, and the king's throwing spears at him. You know, it doesn't really matter what happens in life. I mean, we're going to go through hardships and trials and persecution and temptation and frustration, and we're going to have our wins and we're going to have our losses. The key here in this psalm and what David's saying to us in his life and his story is that whatever he did, he succeeded because the Lord was with him. Maintaining that relationship is the key. Remember the story of Peter when it's in the middle of a storm, and Jesus comes walking along the water, and Peter says to him, "Can I come out?" And Jesus says, "Sure." And he was doing fine. He was actually walking on water, because he had his eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking around at the storm was the moment he started to sink. This rock, it's an amazing feature. It's like it's been weathered, you know, it's been sitting here in the storms of life, and it's just been eaten away, but it's still standing. I'm sure it's got a million stories to tell. I wonder how long it's been here. It's like a testimony, isn't it? Sometimes our lives are not always don't always work out the way that we expect, but it's the weather, it's the storms of life that actually form the character and make us to be the people that God wants us to be and the people that we become. And we're shaped by the storms, we're shaped by the hardships, but we remain. When we remain in Him, when we continue to walk with Him, it's all of those storms, all of those lessons that God uses to actually help us to become the people He wants us to be. Buchanan sings a song. So walk with the Lord wherever you go, whatever you're doing, He will know. Say yes to Him, and to sin say no. Practice being godly. It's a great song, isn't it? I'm not going to sing it for you. Whatever you do, wherever you go, walk with the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on Him, not the storm, not the problem. Focus on the solution, and God will get you through this situation.
As a scroll.